chapter 2. 2 Kings chapter 2. As we wrap up our friend Elijah and begin focusing on our friend Elisha. A reading from the book of 2 Kings, chapter 2, begin with verse 1. Hear now these words. Now when the Lord was about to take Elijah up to heaven by a whirlwind, Elijah and Elisha rose on their way from Gilgal. Elijah said to Elisha, "Stay here, for the Lord has sent me as far as Bethel." But Elisha said, "As the Lord lives, as you yourself live, I will not leave you." So they went down to Bethel. The company of prophets who were in Bethel came to Elisha and said to him, "Do you not know that today the Lord will take your master away from you?" And he said, "Yes, I know. Keep silent." Elijah said to him, "Elisha, stay here, for the Lord has sent me to Jericho." But he said, "As the Lord lives, and as you yourself live, I will not leave you." So they came to Jericho. The company of the prophets who were at Jericho drew near to Elisha and said to him, "Do you not know that today the Lord will take your master away from you?" And he answered, "Yes, I know. Be silent." Then Elijah said to him, "Stay here, for the Lord has sent me to the Jordan." But he said, "As the Lord lives, as you yourself live, I will not leave you." So the two of them went on. 15 men, the company of prophets, also went, and stood at some distance from them, as they both went, and were standing by the Jordan. Then Elijah took his mantle, rolled it up, and struck the water. The water was parted to one side and to the other, until the two of them crossed on dry ground. When they had crossed, Elijah said to Elisha, "Tell me what I may do for you before I am taken from you." Elisha said, "Please let me inherit a double share of your spirit." He responded, "You have asked a hard thing. Yet if you see me as I am being taken from you, it will be granted to you. If not, it will not." As they continued walking and talking, a chariot of fire and horses of fire separated the two of them, and Elijah ascended a whirlwind into heaven. Elisha kept watching and crying out, "Father, Father, the chariots of Israel and his horsemen." But when he could no longer see him, he grabbed his own clothes and tore them in two pieces. He picked up the mantle of Elijah that had fallen from him and went back and stood on the bank of the Jordan. He took the mantle of Elijah that had fallen from him and struck the water, saying, "Where is the Lord, the God of Elijah?" And when he had struck the water was parted to one side and the other, and Elisha went over. When the company of the prophets who were at Jericho saw him at a distance, they declared, "The spirit of Elijah rests on Elisha." They came to meet him, bowed to the ground before him. They said to him, "See now, we have 50 strong men among your servants. Please let them go and seek your master. It may be that the Spirit of the Lord call him up and throw him down in some mountain or some valley." He responded, "No, do not send them." But when they urged him until he was ashamed, he said, "Send them." So they sent 50 men who searched for 3 days, but did not find him. When they came back to him, for he had remained at Jericho, he said to them, "Did I not say to you, do not go?" Now the people of the city said to Elisha, "The location of this city is good, as my Lord sees, but the water is bad and the land is unfruitful." He said, "Bring me a new bow and put salt in it." And they brought it to him. Then he went to the spring of water, threw the salt into it, and said, "Thus says the Lord, I have made this water wholesome, for now neither death nor miscarriage will come from it." So the water has been wholesome to this day, according to the word that Elijah spoke. My friends, is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. So this morning we come to the end of an era. The era of Elijah. And Elijah has been a mighty prophet of the Lord. And he has had his ups and downs. He had a great up on Mount Carmel when he took on the false prophets. The Lord blessed him by miraculously burning his offering up. And yet the very next chapter, recall when I was on top of the roof, he was facing depression down and out and says, "Oh Lord, it's just me." And the Lord had to remind him, no, there are still thousands like you who have not bowed their knee to Baal. No, your work is not done just yet, Elijah. And Elijah has been very busy leading up to this time of departure. When I was studying this, I was curious, and I went over to the book of 2 Chronicles, and I discovered that Jehoshaphat had died during the time of Elijah, and his son, named Jeroboam, took over. And it said Jeroboam was 32 years old when he began to reign. He reigned 8 years in Jerusalem. He walked in the ways of the king of Israel, as the house of Ahab had done, for the daughter of Ahab was his wife. He did what was evil in the sight of the Lord. Yet the Lord did not destroy the house of David because of the covenant he had made with David. And so you see where this king, who had a very godly and righteous father, Jehoshaphat, begin to act in a way more consistent with the kings of Israel like Ahab. In fact, Ahab would have been his father-in-law. And because he had done such evil, it says, moreover, he made high places in the hill country of Judah and led the inhabitants of Jerusalem into unfaithfulness and made Judah go astray. A letter came to him from the prophet Elijah saying, thus says the Lord, the God of your father David, because you have not walked in the ways of your father Jehoshaphat, on the ways of King Asa of Judah, but have walked in the way of the kings of Israel, and have led Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem into unfaithfulness, as the house of Ahab led Israel into unfaithfulness, because you have also killed your brothers, members of your father's house, who are better than yourself. See, the Lord will bring a great plague on your people, your children, your wives, and all your possessions. And you yourself will have a severe sickness of disease of your bowels until your bowels come out day after day because of the disease. And the result was that he spent 2 years very sickly, very unhealthy, and it ends by saying, when he died in great agony, his people made no fire in his honor like the fires made for his ancestors. He departed with no one's regret. Here was someone who was unworthy of the spiritual legacy of his father and his grandfather. They were godly men, and instead of walking in their footsteps, this king of Judah went in the opposite direction. Meanwhile, over in the land of Israel, Ahab is dead, and you have a guy named King Ahaziah in charge. And Ahab blessed his heart. In verse 2, chapter 1 says he had fallen through the latest in the upper chamber of Samaria. In other words, he was on the second house of the palace. And somehow he fell off, hit the ground, severely injured. And he told his messengers, go and inquire of Beelzebub, the god of Ekron, whether I shall recover from this injury. And so the Lord sends a message to Elijah. Get up and go meet the messengers of the king of Samaria and say to him, is there because there is no God in Israel that you want to inquire the God of Baal-zebub, the God of Ekron? Now therefore says the Lord, you shall not leave the bed to which you have gone, but you shall surely die. And so when the king gets this message from Elijah that he's going to die, he gets very upset. And so he said, who sent you this message? And they said, a hairy man with a leather belt around his waist. And he said, it must be Elijah. And so the king sends 50 men, soldiers, and the captains to go arrest Elijah. And they go try to arrest Elijah. But fire from heaven comes down and burns him up. So the king sends 50 more soldiers with the captain. Fire comes down from heaven and burns him up. Well, third time's a charm. Again, the king sent the captain of the third 50. And so the third captain of the 50 went up, came and fell on his knees for Elijah, and entreated him. O man of God, please let my life and the life of these 50 servants of yours be precious in your sight. Look, fire came down from heaven and consumed the two former captains of 50 with their 50s. But now let my life be precious in your sight. And the angel of the Lord said to Elijah, go down to him and do not be afraid of him. So he set out and went down with him to the king. And he said to him, thus says the Lord, because you inquire of Baal, the god of Ekron, and not the god of Israel, therefore you shall not leave the bed into which you have gone, but you shall surely die. And thus that king dies. So Elijah's been busy. He's been delivering words of judgment to both the kingdom of Judah in the south and the kingdom of Israel in the north. And now the time has come for Elijah to say goodbye. And so there's Elijah and his partner Elisha, his apprentice, if you will. And notice time after time again, Elijah says, Elisha, stay here. Elisha says, no, I'm going along with you. They get to Bethel and the 50 prophets come out. Elisha, don't you know Elijah's getting ready to leave us? I know. Keep quiet. They get to Jericho and the prophets come out. Elisha, don't you know Elijah's getting ready to leave us? I know. Keep silent. Quit all that jibber-jabbing. And so Elijah and Elisha are walking along, the 50 prophets behind them from a distance, and they get to the Jordan River. And old Elijah takes off that mantle, folds it up, maybe like the way you do a jacket or a coat, strikes the Jordan River. And when he does, the waters of Jordan depart, and they walk across on dry land. And for most folks, they probably think, oh, that's kind of like Moses in the Red Sea. True, but a more accurate way to look at it is to think of the beginning of the book of Joshua, when Joshua sent the priests carrying the Ark of the Covenant. And then when they touched the water, Jordan, the water split, and the people of Israel crossed over Jordan into the Promised Land. And so Elijah and Elisha cross over. And then Elijah turns to Elisha and says, tell me what I may do for you before I am taken from you. And Elisha says, I want a double portion of your spirit. Now, just to be clear, when it comes to the Holy Spirit, you can't really get a double portion. You can't get like 20% over here and 40% over there, okay? It's not like Kool-Aid. I mean, the Holy Spirit is a person, not a thing. What Elisha is referring to is double portion. Is that in the Israeli culture, the oldest son would get 2/3 of a father's wealth, okay? And so what he's saying to is, no, I want to be your spiritual first son, if you will, your firstborn. I want to carry on your legacy. And Elijah says, well, you've asked for a hard thing, and no, it's not easy to be a prophet. And yet, if you see me as I am taken up from you, it'll be granted to you. If not, it will not. So very important. Elijah did not give the spirit to Elisha. It wasn't his to give. The spirit is a gift from the Heavenly Father. Okay? So Elijah says, here's the deal. If you see me going up, he'll give it to you. If not, you're not. Okay? All right. Sounds fair enough. Verse 11. As they continued walking and talking, a chariot of fire and horses of fire separated the two of them, and Elijah ascended into a whirlwind to heaven. Elijah kept watching and cried out, "Father, Father, the chariots of Israel and his horsemen." And when he could no longer see him, he grasped his own clothes and tore them in two pieces. And so here we have that famous scene of Elijah going up in the whirlwind on a chariot of fire. And it's interesting that in the scriptures, we can only find two individuals who did not die. One was a guy by the name of Enoch. He was an ancestor of Noah in the book of Genesis. And all we know from the book of Genesis, it says Enoch did not die. He was just, the Lord took him. Later on in the book of Jude, we get a little more detail because Jewish traditions move along and begin to describe Enoch as being a great prophet who prophesied the coming of the Lord. And if you read the book of Jude, you see there's a few verses talking about Enoch. And then the other person, of course, is Elijah, the chariot of fire. You know, you think about that. I remember back in the 90s, there was a song called Elijah by Rich Mullins. You probably know him best for the song, "Our God is an Awesome God." But he had a song called Elijah. And talk about how, when I look back at the stars, it'd be like a count lot at Central Park. He said, because I want to go out like Elijah. The idea of, I want the Lord to just kind of take me up to heaven. And I just look back on the stars, and it's like a count lot at Central Park. Now, there's another song that I got on CD, Randy Travis, but probably the folks who've heard it probably heard the Elvis version of it. "Why don't you swing down, sweet chariot, stop and let me ride? Swing down, sweet chariot, stop and let me ride. Rock me, Lord, come and easy. I've got a home on the other side." You know, I realize that wasn't Elvis, but you know. Thank you. Thank you very much. And, you know, but that's one you can really sing to and get along with, you know. And that is a great song about how the chariot's bumping down the road, and said Zeke didn't mind the bumping down the road. He just wanted to lay down that heavy load. Now, here's the sense. Here's a guy for all those years who've been God's prophet and been abused and misused and bring God's judgment word against these evil kings. And now he's ready for retirement. He can say, "Here's my load. Lord, take me up." And he's one of the few people in Scripture who did not have to go through the actual process of dying. Even Moses, that great servant, had to die. But Elijah, the whirlwind came down, the chariot of fire, and he jumped on just like you would catching an Uber ride. And off he went to be to heaven, to be in the presence of God. Well, meanwhile, Elisha was watching all this. And he's going, "Father, Father, the chariots and horses of Israel." No, and what a sight that must have been on earth, be looking up and seeing the prophet Elijah riding this whirlwind. And, you know, you think about a whirlwind, how it goes around and around and around. And I thought about how last Sunday, Jim and I went, we saw the movie Twisters. I remember I saw the first movie Twister on VHS tape back in the 90s. And we're getting ready to leave. A storm was coming in. The leaves are outside. We're doing this. And I'm sure that's how it was for Elijah. He was in that whirlwind. It was going round and round, higher and higher, getting ready to go up to heaven. And then what does Elisha do? He talks about how he grabs his clothes and tears them in two. And then he picks up the mantle of Elijah that had fallen from him. You get this image. Elijah's going up, that mantle comes down. He gets it. He gets to the banks of the Jordan. "Where is the Lord, the God of Elijah?" Right? Moment of truth. He takes that mantle, hits the water. The water parts. And he walks across, just like Elijah. That's when he knew. That God had blessed him with that prophetic spirit. Just as Elijah was a prophet for his generation, Elisha would be the prophet for his generation. Meanwhile, the prophets were watching this, and they said, "Man," said, "the spirit of Elijah is now on Elisha." And then they make an unusual request. They said, "Now see, now we got 50 strong men among your servants. Please let them go and seek your master. It may be the spirit of the Lord has called him up and throw him down in the mountains or in some valley." They thought, you know, we better go check on him. He might still be here. And to keep up with my little Elvis theme this morning, and you remember back in the 90s, and I was in the 80s and 90s, and I was a kid, every once in a while there would be somebody on TV saying that Elvis was still alive. Remember that? And they would say, "No, Elvis still alive. He just didn't want to be famous anymore, but he's still alive. He's wanted to let you know he was okay." And I look back and I thought, well, that's strange. If he was still alive and wouldn't be hiding, why did he tell you to everybody he was still alive? You know, that doesn't make any sense. You know, and well, it was the same way with Elijah. They're like, "Now Elijah might still be here. We need to go look for him." You know, and finally, Elijah says, "Fine, go look for him." And then 3 days later, they said, "Well, we didn't see him." And Elijah said, "I told you so, honey. I saw him. Elijah is not here. He's now with the Lord." And then we end with Elisha's first great miracle. "Prophet, this is a great city, great town to live in. But the water here is poisonous. It makes people sick, makes them die, causes miscarriages." Elijah says, "Give me a bowl with some water and some salt." He takes that bowl, water, salt, throws it in the spring and says, "Thus says the Lord, I made this water wholesome. From now on, neither death nor miscarriage shall come from it." And so the water has been wholesome to this day, according to the word that Elisha spoke. Here was a people who did not have good, clean water. It made them sick. And Elisha's first great miracle was he went and he healed that water to make it wholesome again, so it may be a blessing for the people. Now, what about us this morning? What kind of legacy are you leaving behind? The king of Israel and Judah had terrible legacies. Israel, he was a star just like his dad Ahab was. The king of Judah had no excuse. His father and grandfather were godly kings of Judah, great kings. And yet when he died, nobody mourned his death. And then you look at Elijah. He was a godly, righteous man. Not perfect by any stretch of the means. He had his doubts and fears like we do. But he always put his faith in the Lord. And when the time came, the Lord blessed him. And then he had a godly legacy that he gave to the next generation, to Elisha. It's so important that as a church, we're always looking to the next generation. Now, we do that even today with all these school supplies. Now, you didn't get those supplies for yourself. You're doing it for the next generation of our community coming up. And so my prayer is for all of us that we would be like Elijah. We'd be that godly person who's ready to ride that chariot of fire. And when our time comes, we leave behind a mantle, a godly legacy, for our followers, our friends, and our children and grandchildren. Thanks be to God. Amen.